It's The Bill Murphy Show. A daily one-on-one 30-minute interview featuring people from all walks of life. Available daily at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
And it is Music Friday. It's Friday, August 6th, 2010. As we bring you musical acts every single week. A kind of an oasis from all the other stuff that we bring you all week long, as you get to enjoy some new stuff, up-and-coming great artists. And the show brought to you, as usual, by Lulu's Bait Shack. Lulu's, fresh Florida seafood, gigantic fishbowl drinks, and live music. Lulu's in Beach Place, A1A in the heart of Fort Lauderdale Beach. Today, we get into a whole new genre today. Is, of course, the diversity is the best part of this show, and we're bringing you today guys from Blackout Movement. I almost said Blackout Productions, which would have been too too simple, but Blackout Movement is a lot cooler.
Right.
I got Styles and Blackout, so I'll take it, Blackout. You're the main man, and Styles is your...
Well, not necessarily.
I'm his lackey.
Yeah, I know. I'm just teasing you because I know it's an even...
No, you know what it is? I'm a DJ. I was always known as DJ Blackout, so, you know, that just stuck with me. You know what I mean?
You do the live club DJ stuff?
Yeah, I've been a DJ like pretty much all my life.
That's cool.
DJ Great. Blackout, you know?
And that turned into being a producer,
right.
An engineer too in the studio?
Everything.
Excellent.
Everything.
So top to bottom, you do your projects.
Do it from beginning to end.
And let's talk about I guess you kind of just told me how you got into the business. How'd you become a DJ in the first place?
Well, my father was a DJ.
All right.
So, you know, I was his cheap labor when I was young.
Right.
You know, he would bring me to the weddings.
Carry the stuff around for him.
Carry the stuff around, bring me to the weddings, and he'll go off and drink while I'm DJing.
You know? So,
it was fun. It was fun to me.
Who left their cell phone on in here? That's okay.
No. It was fun to me. So, you know, I just kept it going, you know.
And so then it turned into developing artists. And are you a musician yourself?
You know, my partner is actually teaching me how to play the bass now. So,
okay.
You know,
That's not a bad thing to know.
Yeah, I'm just jumping into the live instruments.
He's a musician. He's a musician. He just doesn't know he is.
He's being modest, right?
Yeah.
And Styles, how'd you get into the business, and when did you first hook up with Blackout?
I got into the business a long time ago. I started out down in Miami. I'm born and raised in Miami.
Cool.
And I started out as an intern. I was actually working at Studio Center when I was 15 years
Best
old.
Best thing that you can do to get in the business.
Oh, man.
Studio Center.
Studio
I was
Center.
About to say, do you know so-and-so, but that would have been probably before
Steve
you were
Schiffo.
Born.
Steve Schiffo.
The guys I worked with at Studio Center were there before you were born, so I don't know if they're even around anymore. So a whole different era of Studio Center, but cool place. And is that down still on, where's that located now?
It's still open down at
125th-ish?
Off 57th Avenue. Still same place. Hector's still working there.
I worked with a great engineer there named Craig Powell.
Craig Powell.
You do know Craig?
Yes.
Oh, he's still around.
I don't think he's not still there.
But he's a big name there.
He's a big name.
Yeah, so that's very, very cool.
I think he's actually out of the country. He doesn't even work in this country anymore.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, they get big and leave the country.
Exactly. They leave Miami. Miami's their kicking grounds, and then they go and do bigger and better things.
Yeah, so I started there, and then eventually, I went on to start producing for myself, you know, doing little projects here and there. I was actually initially signed to Sony. I was doing work for Sony for BMG, and I was working overseas.
Okay.
And then I came over back to Miami, back here, and I met up with Blackout, and we just started working.
And did you guys do any material yourselves before you started developing other artists? You guys did some records yourself?
Yeah, we were both pretty... you know, pretty established before we got together. So it was just like we were just joining forces, you know what I mean?
Cool.
So, you know, I had a couple artists. I had a record with Ja Rule prior to meeting Styles, and, you know, he was doing a bunch of production overseas, like you said. So then we got together and, you know, just made it bigger.
And you brought along a couple of your star artists today. We're going to get into them, talk about their backgrounds, what they're up to, and then play some of their music. But I still want to get into a little bit of the history with you guys.
Right.
Are you making a lot of joint decisions between the two of you now? I mean, does that become an issue once in a while? Do you find yourselves fighting over stuff, or does that become a productive process?
No, we mesh very well. I mean, and we never really had a...
Sorry you had to sit on an exercise ball in here.
Cool.
We just didn't have enough places to sit.
I'm getting my ab workout on.
That's right.
Workout at the same time.
That's cool. No, go ahead. Continue.
But, I mean, yeah, I was saying we messed pretty well, you know. You know, if we never really had any...
Nah. It's just, you know what it is? Like, when you have two people that are masters of their own trade, you know, there's no need to step on anybody's toes. Actually, it helps me out better because there's a lot of stuff that I don't have to do.
Right.
Even though I know I can do it, if I can get off from doing it, and he can just do it.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes it better for me, and I can go have more Coronas.
A lot of stuff that you're skilled at complements his and vice versa. So
exactly.
That's cool, man. It's a nice little operation. Now, you guys have had some success producing some artists. Talk about Mims. What was that deal all about? How did that happen? And talk about the success that that thing rose to.
Well, you know, we got a little bit of success. You know, we put out an artist by the name of Mims. He had a record called This Is Why I'm Hot. The record went number one in the world. And, you know, it's been great since then. You know, we just been keeping it moving. I mean, we did the record. We did the remixes. We co-executive produced that album. Pretty successful. I think it went 600,000 copies.
Now, you talk about co-executive producing a number one record. Immediately people hear that and think, oh, limousines and parties and champagne and mansions. Mm-hmm. Didn't quite get to that level, but you did enjoy a degree of success.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where was I when I got the news? I got the news when I was in Europe. I was in London when I got the news. I mean, we went out, we partied. I mean, we did do the, you know, all the limousines and the hotels and
that. Oh, cool. Of course, you had your fair share.
Yeah, we had fun, you know.
I was in a bar drunk. I was drunk prior to hearing the news, and I just got drunker after.
There you go. You already had a head start, so you were cool. You slept in late the next day after that, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, of course.
And This Is Why I'm Hot, how much creative direction did you guys have on that, or did Mims come in with all the material ready to go and you just produced? Did you guys have a lot of say in putting together the record and arranging it?
Actually, you know, nobody ever, I don't think we ever mentioned this in any interviews, but it was an acapella that was sent to us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he sent us the acapella. So he had the idea, but it was an acapella he sent because he was going to throw it away. He didn't want to use the record.
Wow.
Because he thought the record was pretty much whack because, you know, he didn't like it. And we got a hold of the acapella, and we sat down and we made the beat and rearranged a few verses and some words. And we did a little work to it and made it a hit.
So you guys make beats.
Right.
We produce.
I know there's a difference, right, but making beats is an important part of the process. Now, I have a lot of artists come to me with beats that they buy from, you know, those prepackaged deals that are on the internet, and they're all watermarked with everybody's little, signatures in there and stuff like that.
Right.
And sometimes it gets crazy, and a lot of times they ask me if I want to make beats if I can make beats for them. And I know I'm not an expert in that, so I need to have a couple of people in my pocket. So we need to exchange cards later, you know what I'm saying? Because when these guys come in with these tracks, these prefab tracks and stuff, I say, dude, there's got to be better beats for this than this. Because, you know, sometimes they're very talented, and the music that they're putting behind what they're doing doesn't do it justice. Right. I guess that's something you experience with Mims.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. All right. Nobody cares to elaborate on that, right? That's okay. That's all right. That's all right.
Now, Mims is a great artist, though. He's a great artist.
And what's he up to now? You guys are still working with him on some stuff, or has he moved on to bigger and better things?
He has a mixtape out. Okay. We just got informed.
Informed that he has a mixtape out.
Your people just informed you that. Okay. Right. I got you. All right, so you brought a couple of artists with you here. Let's talk about what's going on with these. Let's start with Khalib, this beautiful young lady to your left over
Khalib,
here.
I know Khalib. Khalib was actually, I moved down to Miami from New York around 8-9 years ago, and Khalib was one of the first people I met down here as an artist, and we've been working since. So it's like, you know, like we've worked, you know, we do a lot of things together. So we finally put together the project, and it sounds great. We have a few successful hits out right now. Well, she's on the hook of a few successful hits right now.
Oh, okay.
And now we're working on her.
And the project that you're working on now, what step are you at with that? How complete is it?
We're about pretty much done with the album. We're just dropping the singles now.
You're dropping the singles, and we're going to hear
of the singles today.
Yeah. Now, has this actually been released, or are we getting some sort
this
of
is,
like...
This is actually a pre-release.
So how about that?
You got an exclusive.
It's sort of like a world premiere on the Bill Murphy show.
World premiere.
All right. All right, well, let's check this out. It's going to take me a second to cue this baby up and get it playing for you. This is Khalib. What's the name of this track?
It's called Great Day.
Today was a good day. My baby took me on a morning ride to my favorite.
So that's Great Day from Khalib, put together by Blackout Movement. Very, very nice sounding record, man. That's slick.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
I don't know.
Appreciate
that. I'm a little suspect as to whether you guys actually made all those sounds on that record yourself.
No, well, that record is actually a sample.
Okay.
It is actually is a classic record by Ice Cube.
I should have known that.
Originally the Isley Brothers, though.
Originally
the Isley Brothers. Oh, okay. So right Isley Brothers, then Ice Cube,
so
and then you.
It too.
So you took 4 8 bars from that Ice Cube and looped it.
Yeah, just looped it up and Puff Daddy style.
Does Ice Cube know that you did that? Does Ice Cube know that you did that?
He knows now.
He knows now.
How does that work? Because I was always curious about that. You know, a lot of times people want to, when I'm producing music with people, they want to use a riff or a part of a song, and I can't get into that, man, because there's too much licensing to get into and all that. So do you deal with that legitimately, or just do it and see what happens?
We try to leave that alone. We try to leave that was one of the first times in a long time that we sampled a record.
Because okay.
It's a lot of
so
politics.
You stay away from it for the most part.
And that's I suggest that, to stay away from music that you have to clear, because they will be in your pockets.
Yeah, and the more successful the record gets, probably the less money you'll end up getting, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You look like you wanted to say something about that style.
I can say, us personally, we try our best not to sample anything, you know, but I can say that to a lot of producers out there, it's nothing wrong with sampling, as long as you do the artist justice or the producer justice that you took the sample from, just out of respect, you know. Then that's why, like, we try, if we're going to sample anything, we're going to take it from somebody that we feel we have an essence from, someone that we grew up listening to, that we feel we can do it justice. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the Isley Brothers. Like we'll do Prince, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or we'll even do like some reggae. We take
not so you don't do it just for the sake of doing it, you're doing it
if
it makes sense.
We do it to do justice to, it's like, I'm gonna sample this because I wanna pay homage to this person I listened to growing up to, that my father played, my mother played this music growing up to. That's why I wanna sample this. Not I wanna sample this because I know these people, I know it can make all this money if I sample it and it's gonna be this great thing or whatnot.
Yeah.
You know,
the recognizability is one thing, but you know, the benefit from it doesn't outweigh it. Now, Khalib's got a beautiful voice. She's sitting over here with us, kind of watching you guys represent her and stuff. So we were talking while the record was playing a little bit about the similarity to Sade. She's got that sensuous kind of sound to her voice. Yeah. Did you guys recognize the same kind of thing?
Yeah, I've always heard that similarity in her voice, and I always try to pull that out of her whenever she's in the booth.
She's looking at me like, what are you talking about? I'm original, man. You know, right? Is that what you're thinking?
No,
I mean, it's a huge compliment to be compared
huge,
to Sade, so that's
huge.
That's very, very cool stuff. So you're just about done with, you're done with the album and you're starting to drop the singles now,
right?
So
that was more of a exclusive buzz single, you know?
Nice.
It's not even the real single. That's just a buzz single that we're going to put out, try to create the buzz. And then
how do you do that? You put a YouTube video together for it, and get it out there, spread it virally, so like they say.
We're trying to get the viral promotion out heavy, you know, we're on YouTube.
Just like you're going to do with this interview. You're going to spread this interview for me virally, right?
Yeah, damn right.
All right.
We're actually Ustreaming.
We
were Ustreaming.
Oh, wow. So we were up on the web.
On the web right now.
Live while we were doing that. Okay.
Yeah, we're going back right now, too.
It's all about the internet now. So, you know, we got to stay on top of that.
Absolutely. I mean,
Twitter, you know, everything.
Don't you guys feel like you're in the middle of a revolution as far as promotion and being able to be independent and promoting stuff on your own?
Definitely.
So you're taking advantage of that. Did you have to surround yourself with some experts to help you out with that, or are you trying to figure out most of it on your own?
Yo, me and my partner here, we figure everything out on our own.
Period.
Okay.
Everything.
Because I'm kind of doing the same thing, and I get up in arms about a couple of things. Like, you know, I want to learn tricks about, you know, getting hundreds of thousands of hits, because there's tricks out there. So you guys are hip to a lot of those, huh?
You know what it is? It's just trying your best to stay current and move with the times. You know,
right.
There's a lot of stuff that's out, but a lot of people don't think to use it towards their advantage. It takes a certain person to think, okay, like you imagine when MySpace first started, how many people thought to utilize that to blast music when they first started? No, most of them were thinking, oh, socially, I can talk to this person, that person, whatnot. So it's a lot of tools out there.
Yeah.
You just have to know to use it to your advantage and figure out how.
And if it's good, it'll spread.
That's right.
The better it is, the more it'll spread like wildfire, you know?
That's right. No matter what it is, if it sounds good, they'll love it.
All right, so I've got another track here, and it says on here, Solar Mesh. Tell me a little about Solar Mesh. What's his deal? He's standing over here to, or sitting over here to your right.
Oh, yeah, that's Armando Solar right there. What's up, boy? Solar Mesh is a band that me and Black put together. Actually, a really good friend of mine, which is the guitarist in the band, named Luis Salazar, he introduced me to Armando. And initially, Armando was singing with another band. He's still singing with them right now, you know, doing shows with them, whatnot. And then there was you. That was the name of the band. Then there was you. Met him there, you know, and I asked him, you know, would you mind getting involved in a project that we're doing and whatnot? And he was like, yeah, you know, and the kid has an awesome voice. Voice is ridiculous.
Well, then let's find out. What's the name of this track we're going to play? It's called Three Words. Is that what it is?
Yeah. We got Three Words for you. It's like one of our rock ballads type of feel.
Solar Mesh with Three Words, courtesy of Blackout Movement.
We broke down quietly without a sound. Not a stress in the world that could fit inside our picture frames. What can I do to fix you or need you? And I don't know what it is or how we got here. And those three words you said
talking over the record, man. I kind of want to let the whole thing go. Armando, very, wow. Very nice voice, man.
Woo.
Very cool stuff at Solar Mesh and Three Words. You got something in parentheses for the rest of that title. What is that? Is that what that? Never mind. I guess I'm just looking at that. Weird. That's really good stuff, man.
Yeah.
First off, I want to say I got to commend you guys for not pigeonholing yourself into one type of music and just staying in that same genre. There's obviously a huge contrast between Kaleem and Solar Mesh. I mean, you guys go from one extreme to the other. That's very, very cool. Variety is the spice of life, as they
that's
say.
That's just the tip of the iceberg, too.
Yeah.
Really?
We got other artists on the label that's... Everything's completely different. Completely different. And we're producing all of it.
Armando's got a very, very spine-tingling voice. Very nice, man. Very dynamic. Very, I don't know, man. Dramatic sounding and very, very cool there. I love that. That's for one. Yeah. That's the first impression. And the rest of it, the instrumentation in there is very, very cool. Now, that obviously is not some track that you got
that's
sample.
That's why I was saying, like, there's...
Those are players on that, right?
Yeah, that's us. Like, that's me. This Black is playing the bass. Our guitarist, Lewis, is also playing the guitars. We do everything ourselves.
Wow.
Like one man bandit.
You guys produce that all yourself. There's a wall of guitars, a lot of overdubs on that, right?
Mixed everything. Yeah. Everything
from
by
beginning
us,
to end.
Beginning to end, everything. Vocal production.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
All that. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's what I was saying. In the beginning, we were talking about people that make beats and people that produce. And I was saying that there's a difference because you think about back in the day when you had like your producers, like your. You know, like your Barry Jones. Gordy's and things that. You know, these people, they play instruments. They were very instrumental in the production of these songs. And I think we're missing a lot of that these days. And since that's happening, I feel personally that the quality of music coming out, especially in the urban department, is not as great or as...
Because it's produced by people that aren't musicians sometimes.
That aren't musicians.
Right.
And, you know, that stems from, at home. And especially at schools, you know, at all these schools that are cutting out the music programs and things like that. So you have these kids that are just sitting on Fruity Loops.
So you're like me. Most of your production skills come from your ear because you know how something should sound. It might take you a little longer, but you know what you're looking for because your ear is telling you what it's supposed to sound like. But there had to be some sort of formal training in there at all. Do you guys go to any of the production schools or anything? Come on. Fess up.
Nah.
I mean, that's good. I mean, it would all be good.
Nah,
no full sale for you guys or nothing like that.
Nothing.
No, wow. Man, this is like a Ray Charles effect, man. You grab something that you love and you just keep going. You know, whether you're blind, deaf, or whatever.
Very well put, my man. And so, is this studio that you guys work in? Is this in one of your homes, or have you got a facility that you got?
It's in the home. Yeah.
Both of your homes, or just one of them? So you work back and forth at different locations, or basically in one?
Well, we have one house. We live together.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
You guys married? No, I'm just kidding.
Not yet.
That's very, very cool.
Master's playing hard to get.
You're married as far. You guys are married in business, though. That's very, very cool. So how can people get in touch with you if they want to work with you now that they've heard this music? And I'm sure it's raising a lot of eyebrows that people might want to get this sound. As even though there's a big, big sound. It was the one thing I noticed between both artists that was similar is that the sound is big, it's wide, it's got a nice sound field. You know what I'm saying? So how can people get in touch with you? We're going to post links on how to look at what you guys are doing and get in touch with you. But let's also hear you say.
Well, just the best way these days, like everything's viral, is just get in touch by email. You know, you can email blackoutmiami@gmail.com.
Or you can follow. I know you can follow me at DJ Blackout Twitter.
DJ Blackout
on Twitter.
And also my Twitter is @DannyBoyStyles.
@DannyBoyStyles.
And yeah,
Kaleeb is @MissKaleeb. M-I-S-S Kaleeb, C-A-L-I-B-E.
Yeah. And Armando does not have
and
a
And Armando staying low key.
I don't want any of you people following
Armando
me.
Armando wants to be
do
hard to find.
Do you know what I do for a living?
He goes, just let my voice speak for itself.
Yeah, but if you want to like email something or you're trying to get in touch with us or some kind of inquiries, the best thing to do is just email
you'll,
to the
you'll find us. You'll find us on the internet. You'll find a way to contact. If you Google Blackout Movement, you'll find us.
Yeah.
And you've got two quality recordings here, free and clear. So you guys are generous enough to put those up there. If people want to go ahead and record this show and take those tracks,
please do.
Spread it around because that's what gets the magic out there. And I'm glad to have you guys here, man, because it's good to come across new musicians. A lot for the first couple of months of this show, I've been digging from my pool of personal friends and musicians that I know. But now I've got people turning me on to other artists, and I really appreciate the fact that you guys came here and let me play your music on here. And when you got more artists that you want to showcase, I hope you'll come back in the future down the road.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, we definitely will. I mean, you know, the most part, just like we were talking about earlier, like things like how the internet is making things viral and you're able to get things out. Viral has to be in your community also, like yep. the music community. So how we met you, you know, that's something that's viral too. We're going to go tell people about.
Bill, exactly. You know what I mean? The connection that we have, I'm sure you guys hooked up originally for Facebook or whatever it was, and now it's spreading around. And, you know, exactly. it's shows like this, we're on a mission to, you know, put radio, traditional radio, to bed once and for all, because now it's the people. We got our voices. We can do this. If you guys wanted to put a show on the air every single day, you got the equipment, I'm sure you guys could do it too. Right. You know what
definitely,
I'm saying?
Definitely.
So that's what it's all about. So I appreciate you being part of the show.
We appreciate you having us, man. It's
awesome. All right, man. And I know this pales in comparison to the music you guys had, but I'm going to run my show close music here. Have a great weekend, everybody. Your show will be posted all weekend on the show as the featured one. And of course, you've got an archive that you can point guys too for forever. So cool. We appreciate you helping spread the word of the show. Thanks, around
man. Yep.
Tune in again Monday for another edition. Ooh, we're gonna have the mayor of the city of Sunrise on Monday right here, the Bill Murphy Show.
Log on each weekday for another edition of the Bill Murphy Show at BillMurphyShow.com. If you'd like to be a guest, send an email to Murph@BillMurphyShow.com. That's MURPH @BillMurphyShow.com. A Murphonics Media Production.